A few years ago, when I was trying to retire, I went to a gathering of retired Unitarian Universalist ministers. It was held at a small but very beautiful Catholic retreat center. On the wall in my room, there was a rather unusual cross. It was made to look as if it had been formed from the rushes of plants. Beneath it, there was a sign saying it was St. Bridget's cross. Shortly after that, when I was with my daughter, Laura, she showed me a new necklace she had bought for herself. I said, "Oh, it's St. Bridget's cross." She said, "How did you know that?" Then she told me how she happened to buy it. Laura lives in Sonoma, California, and there's a very popular place on the plaza called Murphy's Irish Pub. On Friday nights, she often takes her little son, Kevin, down there for fish and chips and Irish music. I've been there with her. The ale is good, too. Near the pub, there's an Irish shop. Laura, who is an Episcopalian, was in the shop one day trying to decide between a Celtic cross necklace and one with St. Bridget's cross. A friend from her church came into the shop and told her the following story. St. Bridget's father was a pagan chieftain of Leinster, and as he lay dying, she sat beside him in prayer. During her long vigil, she told him the story of Jesus. She took some of the rushes used to cover the floor and wove from them a cross. He became interested in his daughter's faith and died a Christian. After hearing the story, Laura chose St. Bridget's cross. Then she went home and researched St. Bridget. It seems that in this story and throughout her life and legend, Bridget clearly stands on and dares to connect the boundaries between father and daughter, between man and woman, between age and youth, between infirmity and health, chieftain and slave, winter and spring, and between pagan spirituality and Christianity. St. Bridget, in many ways, represents the threshold between seemingly disparate worlds and ultimately the connection between the natural and the spiritual. Bridget was born in AD 452, the daughter of Dubtach. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing these right, but I do the best I can. Dubtach, a pagan chieftain of Leinster, and Broitsek, his Christian bondswoman. Now, Dubtach's jealous wife convinced him to sell the pregnant Broitsek as a slave, and he did. He sold her to a poet. The poet then sold her to a druid priest. And one morning, when the slave, Broitsek, went at sunrise with a vessel of milk in her hand, she put one foot over the threshold of the house while leaving the other foot inside. And right at that moment, she brought forth her daughter, Bridget. The maidservants washed Bridget with the milk that was still in her mother's hand. Bridget was born on a threshold. Bridget grew strong and bold, and everything her hand touched increased. Eventually, she and her mother returned to her father's house, where she exasperated Dubtach by giving away his food and possessions to the poor and needy. She constantly took the initiative and became known for her wisdom and compassion. Now, I especially like one story illustrating her compassionate nature. Once, when Bridget was traveling with her father, her servant was taken ill. She fetched water from a well, prayed over it, and gave it to him to drink. It tasted like ale, and he recovered. No doubt those who go down to Murphy's and other such establishments on Friday night, after a particularly long week of work, could also testify to the healing powers of ale. Anyway, Bridget's father, despairing of her generosity with his possessions, arranged for her to marry into a noble family. But she refused and became a nun. When Bridget took the veil, they say that the form for ordaining a bishop was read over her. In reply to the protests of his assistant that a bishop's rank should not be conferred upon a woman, the bishop replied, but I do not have any power in this matter. That dignity has been given by God to Bridget beyond every other woman. The people of Ireland have ever since given episcopal honor to Bridget's successors. So the lady was indeed a bishop. Bridget resolved to establish a community where women could work and pray together. And indeed, a double monastery of men and women was established under her leadership. The famous convent of Kildare, the Church of the Oak, now known as Kildare. It became a great center of healing, religion, and learning, and developed into a cathedral city. Bridget and her Kildare monastic network became the main source of blessing and protection for the people. She became known as the Mary of the people. Not only was Bridget a patroness of students, she also founded a great school of art, including metalwork and illumination. The Catholic Encyclopedia states, "From the Kildare scriptorium came the wondrous book of the Gospels, which elicited unbounded praise from Giraldus Cambrensis, but which has since disappeared. According to this 12th century ecclesiastic, nothing that he had ever seen was at all comparable to the Book of Kildare, every page of which was gorgeously illuminated." And he concludes a most laudatory notice by saying that the interlaced work and the harmony of the colors left the impression that all this is the work of angelic and not human skill. Perhaps it was the work of angelic skill in the sense that the creative process may be a manifestation of the divine within each of us. The sculptor who brings forth a lovely statue from a block of marble, feeling all the while as if the form was already there inside, waiting to be made visible. The musician who feels, if only every once in a while, that the music is already there, only waiting to be made audible by flowing through the soul and the instrument. The writer who occasionally feels as though the words just pour onto the page. These experiences are somewhat like cracking open a geode, gray and plain on the outside, and finding inside a sparkling treasure of amethyst. Saint Bridget was not only the patroness of the arts and creativity and healing, but especially of smithcraft. And fire and the elements play a crucial role in her legend. Her monastery at Kildare was founded on an ancient sacred pagan site of worship, worship of the goddess Bridget, same name, who was the goddess of creativity and the arts and healing and smithcraft. A sacred fire was kept burning at this site at all times, tended by 19 priestesses representing the 19-year cycle of the Celtic Great Year. The monastery continued this tradition, and the fire is said to have burned for 1,000 years after St. Bridget's death. St. Bridget is also known for using well water for healing, just as the goddess Bridget was associated with sacred wells and streams. These links to the ancient Celtic goddess and the fact that St. Bridget lived just as Christianity took hold in Ireland have led many scholars to believe that maybe she did not really exist, but was an incorporation of the Celtic goddess into Christianity. It seems possible to me that there was a real woman who founded a monastery and through story and legend gradually took on both the name and the attributes of the Celtic goddess, thus incorporating the goddess Bridget into Christianity as Saint Bridget. Before Saint Bridget, the goddess Bridget was one of the primary old European goddesses, remarkably preserved by the Irish and Welsh oral tradition and historic records, with little change since Neolithic times, especially as life giver. In folk tradition, Bridget still walks and visits houses in Irish villages. Her presence is felt in sacred wells, streams, trees, and stones. She is known as the mistress of nature, the incarnation of life-giving energy, owner of life water in wells and springs, bestower of life. Her wells are sacred, with the miraculous healing power of the goddess. She traditionally assists at birth and spins and weaves human life. People still leave woven offerings to her on trees or bushes at her wells and streams. But why are we speaking of Bridget today? Well, her feast day, Imbolc, was celebrated on February 2nd, when nature awakens. It was a celebration of the first signs of spring and the lactation of the ewes, symbolizing new life in the seeming death of winter. It was a day of union between god and goddess. The same day was celebrated in Rome as the Lupercalia, sacred to Venus, the goddess of love. Ironically, of course, the Christian church transformed it into the Feast of the Purification of the Virgin and called it Candlemas. In our culture, we have Groundhog's Day. On February 2nd, the groundhog is said to come out of hibernation, and if he sees his shadow, the legend is that he retires for six more weeks of winter. All these celebrations fall midway between the winter solstice, when the light begins to return, and the spring equinox, when light and dark will be in balance. The goddess Bridget is older than Celtic Ireland. She came to Ireland with the Gaelic Celts from Galicia. One of her earliest shrines was in Illyricum, an ancient name for the northwestern part of the Balkan Peninsula. She became the triple goddess of the great Celtic Empire of Brigantia. She ruled and her sisters governed the arts of healing and smithcraft. She was referred to as Heavenly Goddess or Queen of Heaven. Scholars now think that this is how St. Bridget became associated with Mary in the Christian tradition, because Mary is also known as the Queen of Heaven. Bridget was also part of the Celtic Matrona, or triple matronae, the Celtic mothers. It's interesting to note that St. Bridget was a contemporary of St. Patrick and St. Columba. Now, Patrick means father, and Columba means dove. If you replace Bridget's name with her alternate name of Matrona, you end up with the trinity of Patrick, Matrona, and Columba, father, mother, and dove, or spirit. So if you like trinities, that's a rather nice one. Whether St. Bridget actually existed or not is unknown. Real woman or ancient goddess or both, symbolically she stands on the threshold between ancient Celtic nature-based worship and Christian spirituality. And she represents the link between the two. She is a reminder that the connection is the key. Connection with others, and with the natural world through creativity and healing compassion. She reminds us that all of creation, and that includes every one of us, stands on the threshold between our physical home, the magnificent realm of the senses, and the home, the hearth, the eternal fire of the spirit within.